Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show. I don't know how I feel about this experiment. I think we're gonna
bomb.
Find out how it's gonna work. I'm excited for them to hear it though. I think it's good. It'll put a little bit of shuck in our jive. You
it's
know?
Weird for you to be excited about something that breaks routine.
Yeah, I know. I'm borderline autistic.
Mm, no, you're not. There's nothing the matter with you.
Chris, I can't miss Wapner.
Yeah, right.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
This is episode number 62 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
My name is Cole.
I am Chris.
And we're here to entertain your asses. We have a bit of a format change for you here for these next 2 weeks. Chris and I decided to put a little bit of pep in our step and just kind of show you something new, a little bit of a format change. So effectively, this will just result in us laughing at ourselves a lot. But instead of preparing our own stories and reading our own stories to each other, we decided to write them all down on cards, shuffle them, and then put them in a stack in the middle of the table, and whatever comes, comes, no matter where, no matter when. And then to put a little bit of spice in it, I figured, you know, you want to get to know us a little bit, right? So I took my favorite part about Facebook, which is the notes with questions, you know, like, what's your favorite band? And I just interspersed those in there. I made sure to pick the most inane ones, but they're in there randomly. And you're going to find out a little bit about us as we ask ourselves these questions. Is that agreeable?
Format question.
Format question.
The questions that are on the cards are for to read and ask, like if I pick a card that's a question.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking you the question or I'm asking myself?
We can both answer.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just make sure you don't hit your pop filter.
Yeah, I got that part.
Okay. All right. So, Chris, do you have a story for me?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
Maybe. Or maybe I have a question. No, I have a story. Oh, I actually saw this one. This is not mine. This is yours.
Okay.
Home births rose 30% from 2004 to 2009, the first rise in that statistic since the 1980s. Demographically, white women over 35 with more than one kid are the most likely to forego the maternity ward. Here, births are most common in
renegade
states like Montana.
Yeah.
I don't consider Montana a renegade state.
No? Well, not with all the militias? All the white supremacy?
They're not very successful recruiters. There's like 9 people living in Montana. They're all rebels and renegades.
Exactly. Yeah, they live up there in the mountains. They polish their shotguns and they get their women to give birth in the kitchen, I presume?
I don't know.
Yeah. You got to figure replacing that rug has got to be a little bit cheaper than going to the hospital, right?
We're just so selfish now. We don't have time to go to the hospital. It's going to be about this baby for the rest of my life, damn it. I'm finishing my drink.
Maybe we can stop by the hospital when I go out to get my smokes.
It could be.
Yeah. You know, just maybe. Who knows? Mm. We gave birth in, caves and huts, for millions of years. You know, just whatever.
It rose 30%.
It's one of those things, like, humans suck, right? Like you look at a baby gazelle, right?
That cow we were watching on that show last night.
You look at a baby cow or a baby gazelle, it kind of just falls out. First off, it's not like delivered into the loving hands of a trained professional. No, it just kind of drops 5 feet to the ground, hits the ground. Might be a rock there. Who knows? And then it gets up and it's walking in like 2 minutes.
There's probably a rock there.
It's the outdoors, Chris. Two things are for certain. You've got rocks and you've got bears.
I'm not going to do it. You wanted me to.
What?
Nothing. What? Bears.
Bears?
Yep.
I don't understand. Well, I'm not asking you to do it. This isn't a trick.
No more thinking about bears.
Oh, God.
Roman.
You have to wonder, is that movie as canonical for other people as it is for us?
Did you combine two words, or is that a word I don't know?
No, canonical. Like, if something's canon, it's part of the accepted literature, right? Like, I can't imagine somebody not having seen The Great Outdoors having grown up.
I thought that meant fired from a boat.
Chris, an Italian man collapsed into an emergency room complaining of chest pain. He had two hearts, and both of them had heart attacks. Interesting, right? His abundance was the result of a heterotopic heart transplant, where a new organ is implanted alongside an old one to make up for the deficiency. Two hearts. The two hearts developed a difference in rhythm, resulting in the heart attacks. Ironically, they revived him with only a single blast from the defibrillator. Title on the card, Chris? Two Hearts in the Heart Set.
What does that mean?
I just dropped some Pink Floyd science on you. You didn't even know.
I only know one Pink Floyd album. And if you play it, you're going to lose me for about 47 minutes.
You got to listen start to stop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you can't. You can't pull a single off of that.
If you talk during the saxophone, I'll strangle you.
How I wish you were here. That one? Are you a Syd Barrett man?
No. The Final Cut. Okay. 1983.
Gotcha, I like Final Cut. That's
the
good
Fletcher
room.
Memorial Home for Incurable Tyrants and Thieves.
I like Final Cut. It's a good program.
Margaret Thatcher. Richard Nixon.
Yeah. No, so Two Hearts.
An anonymous group of Latin American meatpacking glitterati.
I'm so happy that I can out you as a Pink Floyd fan. That's fun.
Just one album.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. From 1983. Okay. The year of my birth.
The year of your birth. It's you marked it.
Birth year.
Yeah. That's why I like Zelda.
Two Suns in the Sunset.
Two Suns in the Sunset.
Hearts. Okay.
Two Hearts in the Heart Set.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
No. Whatever.
Two Suns in the Sunset.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, two hearts. You figure there are people walking around with two hearts, three kidneys, four brains. You know, they start getting the wrong ideas in their heads. Takes a whole magazine out of a submachine gun to take them down. One fails, everything else picks up the slack.
I've never heard of this idea. I've heard of, like, nanotechnology and them making, little heart valves out of, I don't know.
Out of carbon fiber?
Everything will be carbon fiber. I see a day when everything is carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber children?
Yeah.
They're light and efficient.
You could beat the shit out of them.
They just bounce right back.
Not
carbon fiber feet, like that one Olympics freak?
They just hurt your hands.
Yeah. Crack it open and you have to go to the hospital because it's like asbestos.
Dude, this is a you day.
Is it?
It's a U stack.
Oh, hey, that's the risk we take.
Babylonia Avis is a Seattle woman dead set on gay marrying a 107-year-old factory building that is marked for demolition. Yes, she insists that it's a gay marriage as the building is female. She is doing this to protest corporate personhood.
Yeah, yeah. Citizens United. You know, if a corporation's a person, why can't I marry a building?
A building is a man.
A building, is it?
Yes. A boat is a woman.
All those big... A boat and a gun are women.
Okay. A building that houses a boat... If this is a boat factory...
Yeah?
It's probably a tranny.
No, like, it's a big empty space from which other, in which other things dwell and potentially things could be made. Mm-hmm. I consider that female. It's the absence of space. It's not the intrusion of space.
Of course, but what buildings are?
Monuments. You got the Washington Monument.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty male. Can't have any buildings in Washington, D.C. that are higher than that. You know that?
Really?
Really. Can't do it.
Huh.
Yeah.
None higher than the McDonald's sign.
None higher than the Golden Arch. They have the old style. They have the original model of the restaurant sign.
Who knew?
Yeah, the one arch.
So can you could probably marry a building, right? If you can marry a dead person, you can marry a building.
I don't like that you. See, it's a good thing that we put in the questions to make up for duplicates, right?
Why?
See, if we had our own stories, you could do a segue.
What do you mean?
That's a story.
It's not my story.
Not your story? Okay, cool, but I've got that story. All right.
Yeah, and I didn't pick it because I knew you would.
God damn it. Chris, I don't...
Because you looked at that headline and you were like, lucky son of a bitch.
He can do whatever he wants. Oh, boy.
Where's she going to ask him to go?
I can... Let's save these jokes for that because I might not be till next episode.
All right.
Why do you have such dread insight into my machinations?
I don't know.
You don't know those words. You don't know the answer to the question.
the marrying a building. When I read that story, I didn't pick it, but when I read it, it made me think of Big when he's in the corporate boardroom and they had tried to make a transformer out of like a skyscraper.
I mean, a car or a truck, I can understand, but a building,
but
what's a building do?
What's a building going to do?
Yeah.
It's going to marry your ex-wife.
It's going to marry this chunky Seattle girl.
Yeah, it's going to bang her.
Yeah, going to gay marry her.
Going to gay marry her.
If you love it so much, why don't you gay marry it?
It's going to gay marry it hard.
A SoCal woman says the energy-efficient window installed in a neighbor's condominium is melting the plastic components on cars parked in her carport. Heather Patrone of Studio City was dealing with a mystery regarding her Toyota Prius. The side view mirrors were melting, says Patrone. Anything that was plastic on the car was melting. Toyota told Patrone nothing was wrong with the car. After having the mirrors replaced, she noticed the mirrors on the car parked next to hers were also melting. Patrone then observed a powerful beam of light that was reflecting off of the window of a next-door condominium, casting a concentrated beam over her carport. CBS2's Randy Page, number one rated in news, the most trusted name, placed a thermometer in the pathway of the beam on a partially cloudy day. The temperature registered over 120 degrees in less than 5 minutes. Patrone is not alone. Reports across the country have alleged damages brought on by concentrated sunlight reflected off of energy-efficient windows. The National Association of Home Builders is now conducting a study on the matter. Do you know the story about the Disney Opera House in L.A.?
No.
No, it was a marvel of design because it was one of the first computer-aided design architecture buildings. So they did all this computation with these really curved steel structures and everything. It's a really distinctive looking building. I forget who did it. I think it might have been Gehring who designed it or something. But they put it up, and the problem was the cars on the adjacent highway, there were a bunch of accidents.
Driving off bridges.
They were like running into each other. They couldn't see because it was being reflected off of this concave surface. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a telescope mirror. And just boom, it focused all this light right onto the highway. So they had to go in and retrofit it, you know, just like do a brushed metal on it to reduce the reflection. Chris, my Prius is melting.
My Prius is melting. That's your episode title, I think.
No, I know how awful it is when your side view mirror is gone. It's
horrible.
Bad.
It's a bad feeling.
It's bad. I had to deal with it for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Green technology, energy efficiency. Tempe, Arizona firefighters responded to a fire. At the scene, they could hear their feet knocking against beer cans outside of a 1940s two-story home. There were also a lot of combustibles in the wood frame home, including wood floors and a large amount of newspapers. But that was the least of the firefighters' worries. Firefighters had to break their way through the front door. They couldn't open it because there were so many beer cans on the floor, 2.5 feet deep in most places. They made entry with a line to do a search and rescue. When they got to the bottom of the stairs, they couldn't even return and go up the stairs. The fire started rolling over top of them, so they had to fight their way back out. The fire then consumed the house and is now unlivable.
I would argue that it was probably unlivable before that, but that's just me.
Hoarding.
Chris, the only difference between hoarding and a collection is a shelf.
Guess where the owner was living?
On the shelf?
In his shed. His home had been taken over by beer cans. It essentially became a recycling container for his life in the shed.
Is that kind of like Howard Hughes keeping his toenail clippings so nobody could get
He was unharmed because he was living in the shed.
But you can't let the building, you can't let that house burn down, or else it'll go for the neighbors and stuff, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It must have smelled awful.
their neighbor's garage is too close, and the Prius mirror started melting. Like, what? I don't know.
I don't come up with these situations.
I don't either.
I've lived a life of indolence. I've lived in a college neighborhood. Beer cans that are left out, you know, just smelled beer, discarded beer in general, that smells like shit.
It's horrible.
That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, just unlivable. That's like second to a cat house. Not like a brothel, not a house of ill repute, not a place where prostitutes turn tricks for money, but like a cat house.
A place where hoes live.
Yeah, yeah. We have our first duplicate, Chris.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Sega has introduced a toilet, a console that allows you to play games using your urine to control the games. Games include Graffiti Eraser, which compels you to remove the paint by pointing a hose at different directions, and The Northern Wind, The Sun, and Me, which has the player using the wind to blow up a girl's skirt. The strength of your stream determines how hard the wind blows. They would have let you play co-op, but you can't cross the streams.
No, although there is a game like that.
Finally, the toilet brings you tried and true multiplayer action. Battle! Milk from nose. As the stream... Battle! Milk from nose. As the strength of your stream going up against the strength of the prior urinator's stream, measured with milk coming out of your nose. The winner knocks the other opponent out of the ring with a torrent of nostril milk spray.
Angry Dragon. Look it up.
Let's go pissing contest fight. Godspeed. Did you know, Chris, that phones in Japan, by regulation, they can't let you mute the shutter sound on your camera phone? So, you know, like on your phone and like on my iPhone here, like if I was to take a picture, go cha-ching, mm-hmm. You know, it's a little like, you know, skeuomorphic detail that's, you know, put into me. Oh, it's like a camera when it's, you know, really not.
Yeah.
You can't have a silent camera phone in Japan.
Why?
Because just everybody's upskirting.
You
see a little kid running around. He is upskirting those schoolgirls,
mm-hmm.
On the subway.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Excuse me, I'm going to upskirt you.
Pardon me?
No, I just, it's okay. Pardon
do you
me.
Any, do you have any gum?
Pardon me, pardon you.
Upskirt.
It's God, that culture.
It's an epidemic of epidemic proportions.
Chris, these fuckers in Japan.
It has escalated to a level.
Is that me?
The world, Chris, is falling apart. Upskirt has consumed the youth.
Chris, I like how much effort, how much mental energy you expend trying to profile me.
I don't.
You do. Like, you sent me a picture today of a person. You're like, hey, Cole, this is you.
Oh, that was good, though.
It was really good.
It did look like you, didn't it?
A little bit. Well, he had the sign in front of his face.
Hey, and your slouch.
Yeah.
Or our slouch or whatever.
Yeah, just the
the slouch.
The Ross posture or the roster.
Roster.
Chris, tell me a story.
But it was good.
It was good.
Yeah. Pray to end abortion, and then there's the person look like Cole holding a sign that says more vanilla Coke exclamation point.
Vanilla Coke Zero, have you had that?
No, I haven't.
It's okay.
Is it good?
Yeah. It's okay.
It's probably good with vodka.
I'm sure.
Facebook poll.
Bah!
Jump on the Facebook poll.
I want to find out. Let's share.
What grade would you relive in school if you had a chance?
Oh, kindergarten. Kindergarten. It was before I was a social outcast. And if I could go back knowing everything that I could know now, I would take advantage of nap time.
I wish the onion water was brown.
Onion water?
which is what I thought Rod Stewart was saying when he was really saying, I wish I knew then what I know now.
I wish that I knew what I know now. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I thought that it was, I wish that onion water was brown. And I was like, kind of is brown, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, all you have to do is break through the
kindergarten,
cheese.
Kindergarten, really?
I don't know. That's my answer.
I don't think I would go back to school.
Well, no.
Days were so long.
Thinking about how bullshit that is.
Somebody had a gun to my head and go back to school. What grade would I? I don't know. I wouldn't go back.
No. I mean, it's bullshit. It's awful. You know, you go there. You're forced to be quiet. You have to ask permission to piss. You have to sit in a row with a bunch of other jackasses.
Maybe like fourth grade.
Really?
Yeah.
See, by fourth grade, I was already like the square peg.
Because all you would do is sit around and talk about the show Square Pegs.
Is that a show? Really?
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
Is that where you got those glasses?
Chris, don't make
fun
of
them. I got them in a store called Square Pegs.
Don't make fun of my glasses, Chris. I like them.
See these skinny khakis? Got them in a place called Square Pegs. They're called Skinny Cargos.
So you'd go... Seems like a contradiction, but it's not. you say you go back to fourth
grade. It's
made
from the filaments of Capri cigarettes.
You go back to fourth grade, really?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The teacher. I had to give fourth grade and I think eighth grade. I had teachers who were retiring or losing their minds from marital problems. And so we got to do whatever we wanted to do. Fourth grade, the guy was going to retire. And then in eighth grade, it was just total mayhem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was dumb as shit in elementary school. Didn't do work. It was bad.
Yeah, you were probably a creative type. Although I did see the liberal arts majors do very, very well in poor economic times.
That's a lie.
No, really, it was.
Really?
Because they... don't really have expectations of themselves. No, it was because they had a more generalized education, which focused more on critical thinking and problem solving than on like specific technical task related skills. Like generally accepted skills. But no, that was just it was easier for you to survive it because you know, managing a Wendy's is hard.
I can't worry. I can't sit at a drafting table, Chris. I'm bad at that.
It's not quite as hard as shift supervisor, which is what a liberal arts major does.
I mean, you know that's basically what my degree was, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't know if that was context free or not.
No, with a minor in small pimping.
Chris, a Thai TV director was devastated by the death of his girlfriend, so he decided to combine her funeral with their wedding. Then he put it on YouTube. Why not?
What else is that doing?
During the ceremony, he put a ring on his wedding dress-clad corpse bride as she rested on a coffin on a raised platform. He says it was a romantic gesture, albeit a little bit too late, and not a grab for fame. Chris, I think that's beautiful. If Robin Williams taught us anything... in the fantastic movie What Dreams May Come, it's that it's never too late to be in love.
Or wear a clown nose.
The healing power of laughter, Chris. The healing power of going into the depths of hell to prove to your... I walked into the end of that movie, so I don't know.
No, I mean, to be raised up in Southie, travel to the depths of hell, and then come back and help Will with his daddy issues so he can bang that Brit girl.
What the hell?
What?
Chris, are you pitching something? Is this part of the pitch?
I've just basically combined his career into one.
Then you find out he was from Mork the whole time?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Who knew?
Yeah. I don't know. That's creepy. I read that article about four times expecting him to kiss her, but I think that even Thai people have
I know, I wouldn't go so
have
far.
Boundaries.
Whatever you're going to say is going to be wrong there about Thai people.
Yeah. They're inscrutable, Chris.
They are not people.
That's the tough jewel. Good goal.
Jump on it. The Facebook poll. You're the only person left alive.
There's time now.
But you can choose to bring three people back.
Which three?
Well, I bring you back, obviously.
Why?
So we could keep doing the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For who?
Well, for Jesus and Hitler.
Oh, good.
And then just so we could see if we
so
could...
So that was the last two?
Yeah. So I think that our goal for the rest of, you know, for the rest of eternity would be for us to try and get them both to laugh at the same thing. Once we found that, you know, we could all, you know, just chill out. Then our woeful errand would be done.
I think that it would probably be Don Knotts or Jimmy Stewart.
What? Who's your third?
Huh?
Who's your third?
That's not who I would bring back. That's if we doing that bit. That's what they would both laugh at.
Okay, so there were these two guys.
Two guys.
They sounded a lot alike when they were upset.
They did a lot. A lot, a lot.
A lot. Well, how about you? What three people?
Three people would I bring back? Oh, gosh. Harry Carey.
Not when I have a beverage in my mouth, Chris.
Charlie Chaplin.
Okay.
And Carl Lewis.
Who's Carl Lewis?
He's an Olympian.
He's an Olympian?
I believe so. I think he's dead.
Jesse Owens?
That one, yeah, that's the one.
Who's Carl Lewis?
I think
he's an actor.
Black
Carl
Olympians.
Winslow?
No.
From Fresh Prince?
Isn't that the dad from Family Matters?
Oh, yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah. 16% of students at Texas University say they played the choking game. I like where this is going. This is sexy. The choking game, also known as the fainting game, pass out, or space monkey, is played individually or in groups. And involves manually choking oneself or others. People apply a ligature around the neck or a plastic bag over the head, placing heavy objects on the chest or hyperventilating to attain a euphoric feeling. This practice has led to several suffocation deaths in Texas and across the country. Out of the 16% who said they participated in the choking game, 72% reportedly played the game more than once. The choking game, Chris. So were they just trying to avoid the fact that they were that they were pleasuring themselves while they were doing it?
At least I died happy. No, you just, you know, I suppose it's the same as doing like whippets repeatedly until you pass out.
Until you're rock hard.
Yeah.
I've never done those, so I don't know if you get rock hard or not.
You don't.
Okay. Whoops.
But depends on who you're doing them with.
That's something. Did you know that there's a game that that school children play over and over in the UK called Soggy Biscuit?
No.
Look on your face. No,
because I can't even imagine what that is.
Over there, a biscuit is a cookie, right? And a cookie's a biscuit.
Oh.
Bunch of young men. They stand in a circle around a cookie that's on the ground.
No.
And they crank it. And the last person to crank it on the cookie has to eat it.
Oh no!
It's not often I make
you sick.
Oh,
that is awful.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's something that people do. You know, just a friendly JO party. Just gonna put some plastic bags over our heads. That's an exercise in trust, though.
It's a J.O. party. Who could ask for more?
You're dropping Oingo Boingo science on me, Chris?
Everybody's jerking on the floor.
Oh, man. Have you ever been to a ropes course, Chris?
Really?
Have you been to a ropes course?
I have been on a ropes course.
You have been on a ropes
course.
In what context? In what context?
Just
like a corporate thing?
No, it was survival.
Yes, sir. They put us up in the ropes course for about 5 days. We had to survive.
It was a survival ropes course.
Yeah. We had to make our own traps out of the twigs and branches that we could reach so we could catch nearby sparrows.
Put us up there. They put us up there so we could learn.
No. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, instead of doing trust falls and going to a ropes course and stuff like that, team building exercise. Let's build trust. You choke me, and I trust that you won't, you know, do it until I die.
But if you pass out, we're putting the cookie in your mouth.
Oh, God. Good.
Facebook poll. You are a battery. Are you a double A or a triple A?
I'd be a D because the ladies love me. I picked it solely so I could say that. Your answer is irrelevant.
Yeah, I got that.
Chris, Facebook poll. Do you wish you had a web show like iCarly?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Something that's on that caliber?
Do you wish you ran a web show like Fredward?
Who's Fredward?
He's the tech guy that helps the two dumb broads put the show on. Because without him, it wouldn't happen.
they just do wacky stuff and he puts it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be really hard work. Huh.
Probably.
All the editing there. Chris. Take a card.
I don't know. Do you wish? Where'd that come from? Was that
a Facebook poll question?
Oh, it was. All right. Who knows? Passengers on a British Airways flight got a rude awakening at 3 a.m. when a turn announcement played over the speakers, warning them of an impending crash. Turns out a crew member mistakenly set off a pre-recorded sea landing warning. Is this your only flying story?
My only flying story, yes.
All right. Well, I did not do another flying story, but I read about it.
Read about that?
No, instance? I didn't read about that. Okay. I read about another one.
Okay.
Where the pilot came on before the flight and said that they were going to be delayed about a half an hour because the airport that they were going to land at had a very tricky approach.
Okay.
He hadn't flown into there in about 2 years, and he needed to exit the plane to watch a video before they could actually make the flight.
So wait a minute. So he took the I don't know how to repair this sink, but I'm gonna look at a video on YouTube so I can learn it. Approach.
He just wanted to learn, take a new approach.
the right approach, the approach that wouldn't cause people to die.
That one, yep.
Yeah. Inspires. Why would you say that? Why would you say that aloud?
That was the point of the story. That was not good.
Not the right thing to
do.
And
then the plane broke and there was all kinds of problems.
He was drunk though.
He hammered.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
you could smell him from the restroom.
Yeah, like a copper cooking pot.
I think that there is room for this in a kind of a burgeoning services industry, and I want you to let me know if I'm missing my mark here or not, okay?
Okay.
I think that like this, in that situation, there were people who were taking their lives for granted, kind of like in a Fight Club kind of sense, but but they get that. They get the bing, bing, please prepare for an emergency unscheduled landing in the water. And it's like, ah, and then just, the stewardesses come on and say, no, it's fine. Please calm down. Please calm down. Stop crying. Don't open the emergency exit. That would be a bad thing to do. Oh, you jumped. But just that moment of clarity, that moment of realizing how fragile your kind of meat and bones are, right? The slender thread that connects you to, this existence and everybody else that you're around. That's a valuable epiphany, right? So what if there was a service where you could, to call these people and say, hey, listen, I'm in a funk. I don't want to know when.
Michael Douglas,
The
Game.
I don't want to know where
Michael
or
Douglas,
how.
The Game.
I want you to convince me that I'm still alive. Is that what The Game is about? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's neat. I like that. I need to watch that. That's David Fincher?
No, it's Michael Douglas.
Well, David Fincher directed it.
Did he really know?
Yeah.
Who knows? And they just played the announcement.
Women
jumped up in panic. Upskirt.
Air Japan.
Sorry, my bad.
Why is that automated? Do you think they would want to put in a personal touch? Mm-hmm. But, oh, well. Chris, in response to an alarming rise in Craigslist-related robberies, the Milwaukee Police Department is opening its stations up as safe havens, safe harbors, if you will, for conducting Craigslist transactions. If someone doesn't want to meet at a police station, that's probably a red flag. Oh, you're selling your iPad?
Oh, you're selling your son? Oh, okay. Which leads me to the police station.
You're looking for a daddy to punish you?
Oh, my Is gosh. That
the, let's go there. We can use the locker room. Instead of chasing you around.
You're selling your hermaphrodite midget collection? Why?
Chris, collection is such a crass way to put it. Harem, please.
Yeah, you need at least five to make a collection. There's only three.
Chris, the only difference between hoarding and a collection is the shelves. What shelf are you putting your hermaphrodite midget on?
Your hermaphrodite midget fetus in a jar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preserved in formaldehyde.
That's the one.
To be passed around a science class.
That's a rattlesnake head.
He has a pee-pee and a vagina.
Who knew? And finally, Facebook poll. True or false? I would eat a hippo for $1 billion.
Depends how hungry I am.
And now I figured out why he did that.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, Chris, thus ends part one of our grand experiment in format changery.
Dave, you loved it? Wait a week.
We hope you did.
It'll be back.
Don't worry. There's nothing you can do to stop it if you didn't.
And if you hate it, we'll use next week for you.
Feel free to skip. If you'd like to share with us how you felt about this, you can contact us on... email, go to duckfeed.tv/contact. There's a form there. You can also call us at 419-528-TDRK. Leave a message there. We might play it on the air. No big deal. It's easy for us to do. You can also check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. It's always a party happening all the time there. You can suggest stories, all of that good stuff. And finally, you can tell your friends and check out the other shows on the duckfeed.tv network. Is there anything else I'm missing?
I think that you covered it all very well.
Cool. Good night.
Night.